Welcome to the next episode of Feral and Fabulous. I am so excited to announce our guest today, Miss Holly Van Delden. I guess I should have said Ms. Holly Van Delden, either way, you're still amazing. And I'm so excited to have you here today. And so what's been going on in your world? I want to hear.
Retirement, grandkids, pickleball.
Love it.
It's good.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I know we go back a long way, and I'm not sure you would have a better recall than I would, but 20 something, is it 30? Is it 30 years?
About 32 years.
Oh God, it's 32 years. Okay. I was going to guess 28, but yeah, that just ages us a little bit more.
And Scott says, well, y'all haven't known each other just in years. You've known each other through husbands.
That's true. No, that's true. I love that. Oh my God. What a cool counting program. I love that. Oh God. That's a whole nother
topic,
right?
That's nothing to be proud of. Okay.
Well, no, but it's something to talk about.
It is. It is.
We could tell some stories.
We could.
We've got some good stories. So, okay. Well, I love all those topics. So one of the things I would love to talk to you about, because you're kind of the one that introduced me to the whole thing, a pickleball. I know that pickleball is a big part of your life, and I know so are grandkids and family and all that kind of stuff, but tell me a little bit more about pickleball and what got you into pickleball? Because when you and I first met, I mean, obviously pickleball wasn't even a thing. I'm sure it was available, but it really wasn't. Nobody was really playing at that time.
Right.
So what was the impetus? What kind of caught your eye? What made you decide that? Because you really weren't even a tennis player.
No. I did a summer camp of tennis one time in high school. That was the extent of my, tennis, if you want to say I did tennis. But, I just heard about it getting more popular. And then I think Chicken and Pickle opened up.
Yeah.
And
how many years ago was that?
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But
yeah,
my brother actually started playing pickleball over 20 years ago. Before they sold pickleball paddles in public, before they had places to play pickleball, you just set up in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he used to describe it to me, and I was like, okay, whatever. Have fun.
Yeah.
But then when I noticed, like when they started building places, I'm like, I kind of want to try that. So I invited him in and he did a little crash course for us one afternoon and I really liked it.
Okay.
And shortly thereafter, I became addicted.
Yeah. Because definitely I feel like, and that's happened over the last, how many years now?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Okay. So I know that you play at a lot of different places. And so tell me a little bit about how is it that you determine where you're going to play and who you're going to play with?
Okay. So if you want free play, the top places are probably CBC, Helotes, and Fairchild. I mean, there are other places, but those are three that are really popular.
Okay. CBC meaning the church?
The church.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, they built some free courts there. And there are places you can play to go to pay, and some of the gyms even have courts.
Okay.
But the big ones around here are Epic.
Okay.
Which is E-P-O-C-H.
Okay.
And
like Epoch.
Yes.
Okay.
Deal Dinkers, which they just opened their second one next to UTSA.
Okay.
Over by the, kind of by Chicken and Pickle.
Okay.
And then another one opened recently called Texas Pickle Hall, which is by the IKEA store at 35 and 1604.
Okay.
And those places are strictly pickleball.
Okay.
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 And so you got to decide if you want to pay or not pay.
Right.
Okay. So that's part of it.
Right.
And then you got to decide, do you want to do an open play situation? So, you're just going to show up and there's going to be other people to play with. So you don't have to look for people to play with.
Okay.
So you can go on the system's called court reserve that a lot of them use.
Okay.
And you can see, from 11 to 1 today, they have open play. I can go to that and there will be other people there to play.
Okay. So you can just show up by yourself.
You just have to sign up on the app.
Oh, you do. Yeah. Okay. So there is
just to make sure there's a slot for you because they do have a capacity.
Got it. Okay.
And then the other option is you can reserve a court and get your other players to play. So Scott and I play together most of the time.
Okay.
So that means we just have to find two other people.
Scott being your current husband.
Yeah, that one. That's the one. You got it.
Just wanted to clarify.
You got it. Yeah.
So Scott plays with you.
Yeah. So our the two places we go are Epic, which is on Hardy Oak.
Okay.
But between Stone Oak and Wilderness Oak.
Okay.
And then we go to the Dill Dinkers on Blanco and 1604. Those are our two spots.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, when you talk about there has to be, sometimes there are costs associated. How much cost are you talking about? Or is it varied? Like,
it varies
widely?
Quite a bit.
Okay.
Some places charge more on weekends.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I guess more people want to play on the weekends. Yeah.
Yeah. Because people work.
Sure.
I think if you rent a court and it's just going to be you playing, it's going to be more expensive.
Okay.
Because there's only four people on the court.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's open play and there's a group, the price is going to be lower.
Okay.
So, but both of those places have specials, like you can go for $5 and play with a group of people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At certain times of the day. So if you have some flexibility, even if it's lunchtime.
Okay.
There are some times you can go play that it's very reasonable.
Okay. So it doesn't have to break the bank if you don't.
No, but if you want to break the bank, you can.
Yes, you can easily break the bank. Yeah. And so
you can. The places that have memberships,
okay,
you get a discounted rate if you rent the court. So instead of saying just hypothetically, like it's going to be $60 for the court, it might be $30 something like that.
Okay. And when you say for the court, do you have a certain amount of time that you get the court for?
You can rent it for pretty much what you want in 30-minute increments typically.
Okay.
And we usually do 2 hours.
Okay. That's kind of the typical thing. How many games can you play in 2 hours?
It depends.
Okay.
But I'm going to say usually probably six or so.
Okay. Okay. And so how would you say, what is your level of proficiency now?
Don't even go there.
No, I have to. I have to, because you and I are both so competitive, you know.
I'm not competitive.
Well, you are kind of. I mean, you're really good at pickleball, because I can say this because I have played pickleball with you. And I'm awful, because I've only played, the only pickleball I've ever played has been with you.
Okay. Well, it's all relative. Okay. Because put me with some of the other people who are really good, and you will see that I'm not really good. And put me with the beginner, and you'll think, oh, she's really good.
You are really good.
So it's all relative.
But I've seen you play with other people that are really good.
There's a system called Duper, which is...
What? Duper?
Duper, D-U-P-R, which is the Dynamic Universal Pickleball Rating System.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it kind of scores you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So if you're around, like, say, you're a two.
Okay.
You're a beginner.
And what's the scale?
Hang on, and I'll show you.
Okay.
So if you're a two, you're like a beginner.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. One meaning in a comma? Well,
pretty much. A lot of times they put NR, which means not rated. You don't even know yet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And...
not reliable.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, I usually play in a group 3-0 to 3-5.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Which means I'm an intermediate player, not an advanced, an intermediate player.
Okay.
And the way I know, besides a duper score, the way I know that's kind of my level or where I need to play is because I win probably 50 to 100% of the games. If I was losing all of them, I know I need to go back down to play with 2.5 to 3.0. Okay.
Got okay.
If I was winning 100% of them 100% of the time, I need to move up.
Yes. All right. I see what you're saying.
So,
Who tallies that? Like, who keeps...
There is a system.
Okay.
It's the Duper system.
Okay.
And it's entered.
Somebody has to enter it?
But it has to... Everybody has to agree. So you can't like...
You can't like...
Right.
I won and even though they didn't think
no,
I really
you
did.
You can't do that. And... okay. For tournaments and leagues, it'll be like the owner or the pickleball coach or whoever's running the tournament that will be putting those in, because there is a credibility factor associated with your score.
Okay.
So.
Is that a separate score for credibility?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're over 4.0, you're really good. If you're over 5.0, you're professional level.
Oh, okay. And so there are professional people. They have... I don't know.
Kimberly.
I, I don't know how this works. I mean, yes, I've played with you before, but I didn't realize. So it's like
there's
in tennis.
There's pickleball channels. There's making millions.
What?
It's big.
People play professionally?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Oh,
You know, I'm blonde.
No.
We're both blonde, but you're just the smarter blonde.
No, I'm not.
No. I'm serious.
No, there are professionals. And it's really interesting because it's becoming a thing. Like they're talking about doing it potentially at the Olympics, at colleges for sports, scholarship type stuff.
It's going to
You're seeing more. And it's going to be like tennis, I think. That's what I predict.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing more and more younger kids starting this sport.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea.
I had my grandkids playing.
Really?
Jocelyn and Braxton are both playing.
Are you kidding? And is there a league for them at their age?
Braxton just did the camp.
Okay.
And she's 4, so she has to wait till her birthday, which is in a few months, and then she can start doing it. But yeah, there are kids doing it.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
So here's what I think is going on. This sport, it's the fastest growing sport in America for the past 4 years.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
But the appeal is this. It appeals to a wide range of ages, from young to elderly.
I'm in. Just saying.
It doesn't matter if you're blue collar, white collar, Republican, Democrat, straight, gay, or you don't know what you are.
Love
it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, tall, short, heavy, thin.
It's for everybody.
It does not matter.
I have seen
people play in wheelchairs and they were phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. I maybe need to get Stephen involved in this.
Honestly, I can hardly watch the people in wheelchairs. They are so talented. And that wheelchair is moving all over. It is incredible. They are incredible athletes.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't asked you about this before. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's just for everybody. And you cannot judge someone by their appearance because just and not disrespectful, that old person who limps out on the court, do not fall for it. No, I mean like 80 years old and limping out on the court, you're thinking, oh, I better go easy. Do not fall
for it. They're going to kick your butt.
Do not fall for it. You can't judge.
Yeah.
You absolutely can't judge. And that's the beauty of it.
Okay.
It's for everybody.
Okay. But so tell me, though, you just described an 80-year-old playing. Is there an age? Do you have age brackets? Because we just had somebody on the podcast that was talking about tennis, and that league is based on it's an age-based system, just like golf and other things.
I get
that,
yeah.
So is it just rated on your ability, or is it rated on your age, or both?
Actually, Duper is just your ability.
Really?
But having said that,
interesting.
There are senior leagues, senior tournaments. There are events that have age brackets, so that if you want to be a competitive player, you're going to play against that same age bracket.
And I'm assuming the senior league would start at 90. So that we would be a ways away from being able to join that league.
The college kids invited me.
Perfect.
No, I'm joking because here's what's really weird, okay? I have all these, if you play pickleball, you know this. You have either everybody's name and you have either the word pickleball after it or PB because you know they're a pickleball. So when you're looking for people through your contacts, who can we get to play? You're scrolling, you just do a search.
You look for, okay, this is interesting.
I'm texting kids in college, hey, you want to come play?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not. And they're like, sure. And we have a blast.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It does not matter.
But you know what? I'm going to say this, and this is so true. Who doesn't have a blast with you? I mean, there is no age limit. No, I'm telling you, there is no age limit to your funness. I mean, I'm saying, like, on the Dicker scale?
If you want to go there, I'm going to go there with you. Who knows how to say all the right things?
Not me.
Oh, yes,
no,
you
I'm
do.
A mess. I'm
calling
mess.
You out on it.
No.
I am calling you
yeah,
out on it.
Yeah, we're talking about the Dicker score. I mean, Duper or whatever it is. Duper, Dicker.
No.
There's some kind of score in there.
You know all the right things to say. You're very nice to say that, but it's just a fun game. Now, there are people who are really competitive.
Yeah.
Me. And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm there for the mental and physical aspect of it.
Right.
And I want to have fun.
Yeah.
And if you're way too serious for me, that doesn't make you a bad person.
It's just not
a preference that I want to play with.
I understand.
Because I want to have fun.
Yeah.
It's my escape.
Okay, so this leads me to my next question. Okay. Are you ready?
No.
I want the dirt. I want the pickleball dirt. Like, I want to know what is going on behind the scenes, because you can't tell me that this is that popular a sport and there are that many people playing without drama. There's got to be drama, and I want to know about it. I'm here for that.
Okay.
So give me the Housewives of San Antonio pickleball dirt.
Oh, boy. Let me think.
What is that?
You know, there's really not a lot of drama, and I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
There really is not. It's very, it's so minimal that it's not even measurable.
I guess it's just because I'm not playing yet. I guess I need to get
it's
out there because.
Really, there's just not much at all.
Really?
No, you just don't see a lot of that.
Is it because it's people that play are just no nonsense and they just are like there to, you know?
I don't know. You know, I just think.
Because there's drama in other sports, you know.
I mean, there may be at all of these competitive events, but okay. I don't participate in
those.
Got it.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't see a lot of
it. Yeah, I get that.
I mean, I hear little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I may look at a couple that I think, I don't think they're just pickleball partners. Okay.
No, I get that. So maybe there's a little bit going on there.
But the reality is, I would say I've played with literally hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even, over 300 different people easily.
Yeah.
And I've only met one person that I would just never play with again.
Really? Okay. Well, that's interesting in 2.5 years.
Now, so. Are there some I prefer not to play with because they take it a little too seriously and I'm there to have fun?
Sure.
Yeah, but I'll play with them because it's okay.
Yeah.
But there's only been one out of the hundreds that. So in general, I don't know what it is. It's a good group of people.
Okay.
Well, you know, then, Kim, Dave always says he, well, I probably shouldn't say this.
Go ahead. It's just a podcast.
Know, Dave's,
they're Dave, not recording right
Dave,
now.
Dave always says, you know, I don't really like people. I'm like, I don't either. I don't either.
You and Dave are very simpatico in that regard.
No, and I don't. And here's the weird thing. You're not going to believe this. I've made friends.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy for you. You have friends?
I know. It's
a
shock.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a shock, right?
Oh, my God. I thought you only had a couple.
I know. I like my circle really small.
No, I know you do. I know you do.
And I'm really, really picky just because
I know you
I don't
are.
Like to let people in.
I know, which is why I'm so shocked.
I have met people that I actually like.
I'm so excited. We need to celebrate that.
We were doing our holiday schedule in December, and we were like, okay, we got to go here for this party. We got to go here. Scott said, we've never been so social.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
That is another thing I read recently is that this game is changing things for seniors, because typically seniors, the older you got, kind of the more you retired, you got more recluse.
Sure.
You were kind of out of the loop.
Right, right.
And this has actually flipped the script. Because we're all at, when we walk in, it's like the bars cheer. Hey, cheers. Remember Norm
yes,
would walk
I
in?
I totally
That's
do.
That's what it's like.
I love that,
We
though.
Know everybody.
That is so cool.
And they're nice people, and it's fun. It's cool.
I love that, though. Well, now I'm starting to kind of understand why you're so obsessed with it, which is going to lead me to my next question is, how many times a week do you play?
We were playing 6 or 7, but if you could see the amount of equipment we have at our house for injuries, we have a whole shelf in the freezer of different sizes and types of ice bags.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this for injuries, like people hit you with a ball, or
no,
this is okay,
this
like
is
pulling
pull
a muscle,
a hamstring?
Got it.
What your knee starts getting stiff. Whatever.
Yeah.
Your elbow, your shoulder, this shoulder. You know.
Yeah.
My chiropractor loves me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you feel like, I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but it seems like pickleball is really good for your health. I mean, your overall mental well-being and your physical well-being.
So sometimes it'll be a little stressful morning and we'll be driving to pickleball and Scott will say, so how hard are we going to whack that ball today? We're going to take out some frustrations.
Yes. Yes.
And so the mental thing really is big. And, you know, I've never been one that just, you know, some people thrive on exercise. Like, oh, I just love to go to the gym, or I'm going to go run 5 miles.
Right.
That is not me.
Me either.
Okay.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But I do have a slight obsession with the pickleball, the workout that it gives you, the sweat, the just work hard, play hard.
And I would think it would be good for you mentally, not only just emotionally, but just, I feel like just to keep your brain engaged and, you know, keep your eye on the ball, literally.
That I think there's some to that. And then just physically, I just feel better. So we play 5 days a week now, and that's our limit. But there are exceptions that we push it to six if someone, you know, really needs
two or three times, maybe two or three times a week, make an exception.
No. So we're at five. And that seems to be a pretty good number, because that means we've got 2 days a week to kind of let our bodies recuperate.
Okay. And you don't take those 2 days, I assume, like back to back.
We usually do. Oh, not do always. You? No, we usually do Wednesdays and Sundays.
Okay, I was going to say maybe you stretch it out so you have a break and then a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, and then a break.
But you know, Kim, it just doesn't always work out.
Yeah, I do know how things sometimes don't freaking work out, right?
Yeah.
I do understand about that. So what else about pickleball do you feel like, because it's such a craze. I mean, obviously I know that you guys love it. And Dave and I have played with you not many times. How many times have we played with you guys?
Three.
Yeah, three.
And that was like 2 years ago.
I know.
And I've been hearing this story. We're going to start again.
Yes. And we are.
Really?
But.
In 2026?
Yes. Because we're in 2026. I can say that. I do. And we're going to bring the tequila. We're going to bring our Platinum Patron.
Really?
Yes. Because I do want to get back in shape. And I do feel like, and I had this conversation actually with somebody that was on the podcast the other day. We were talking tennis. Because I have a tennis background, and this is years ago, but I struggled when I first played. The only times I've ever played were with you and Scott. And I struggled because the distance between when you hold a pickleball paddle, it's very different than holding. Yes, please. Thank you. Actually, that was exactly what I was going to ask you about, because a pickleball paddle and I wish we had a tennis racket. I have one at home.
What's the difference?
There's a big, like, not a little difference. There's a huge difference. And so for me, my brain, my old brain, is so wired because I haven't played tennis in many, many years. I played pickleball more recently than I played tennis. But my brain is still wired from when I was a kid in high school playing tennis, that I feel like when I go to make a play in pickleball,
you're off.
I am, because my judgment in my brain is with the tennis racket.
Because it's longer. You think,
yes. Yeah. And so I mess up every freaking time.
You
and then
not.
I would, yes, I did. No, I was exhausted. I was dying. Y'all had to call EMS for me.
Wait,
I was literally breathing into a respirator. I'm like, oh my God, save me. I need oxygen.
Let's hear the true story. How many days did it take you to recover from playing pickleball the first
time? It took me days. I told you, I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. That's the truth of the matter. Ask Dave. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm really in trouble here. I think I have emphysema. I don't even know. I have ailments that I'm so messed up. So I was barely surviving.
Here's what I think is interesting. A lot of people that play pickleball have a tennis background, and that usually, for the most part, they transition very quickly, and you can just tell they have a tennis background. They're good players.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are they playing pickleball and then tennis and pickleball and tennis, or are they just transitioning?
Okay.
Is it a one-way transition?
Okay, that's what I was going to tell you.
Okay.
Most of these people, I hear, like, they've just transitioned over for age, for convenience, for being
able
to play.
Your brain.
Whatever. But I still know a few people who can go. I know one person in particular. He plays both every week, several times a week.
That's messed up.
And I'm like, you don't have any trouble.
I don't get
that. And he said, no, none.
How old is he?
Shout out to Sean. Sean's, God, now, see, if I say Sean and I get his age wrong, I'm going to go with 60-ish.
Okay. All right.
God, I hope I'm right, because this is going to be embarrassing.
Here's the thing. He probably speaks multiple languages, too.
I don't know that.
I'm just guessing, because there's no way the brain, I've tried it. There's no way. It just is too, it's like, I don't know, unless he's ambidextrous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got to have, both sides of the brain. Is he, like, left and right brain?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't get that.
But you do see a lot of tennis players.
Really?
Playing, yeah.
But most of them, you're saying, transition one direction.
I don't know if it's
direction.
Most, but it feels like that.
Okay.
It feels like that, but I don't know that that's true.
Okay. Okay. So tell me a little bit about the physical side of it. Does it, like, do you burn a lot of calories? Is it, like, one of those things? I know it's good for your brain mentally and obviously in many different capacities, but what is the deal with that? Like, how much are you burning per hour? You say you play 2 hours in a day.
At least.
Understand, 2 hours in a day, 5 days a week. Like, what does that look like? That's why you're like skinny mini.
I'm not, but thank you. All right. So Scott and I did our Apple Watches for a while.
Oh my God. Is that an Apple Watch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's freaking ridiculous. So that's beautiful.
You have to realize is you put in on your phone, even I think it is.
Okay.
You put in your height, weight, you know, all that.
Okay.
Oh, the taller you are and the more you weigh, the more calories you're going to burn.
Okay. Because you're lugging more around.
So Scott's obviously going to burn more than me because he's significantly taller than me.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but it is also how hard you play. So the person that's not moving very much obviously isn't going to burn as much.
Sure.
But we did do several months where we tested it out. And for me, in a couple of hours, I typically burn about 850 calories. And for Scott, it was well over 1,000.
Oh, my gosh. I would be eating all kinds of bonbons and Twinkies. And oh, my gosh. Imagine the food I could eat after that kind of workout.
So
obviously, you don't do that.
I
but
do.
I mean, oh, no, you I do don't. Not. You do not. But I will say, I have to give you a shout out. You turned me on to the most amazing snack that I'm obsessed with now. And I literally, in the ice storm that we just had recently, I was out foraging through the grocery stores trying to find freaking watermelon because you've turned me on to
watermelon with hot honey.
Yes. Watermelon and fresh, large blueberries.
Oh, yes.
They can't
be
the regular size.
No, they have to be the jumbo.
The jumbo, I've learned, it has to be the fresh. It can't be just a watermelon that is sitting in mush.
Oh, no,
it's got to be freshly sliced watermelon with jumbo blueberries on it with hot honey. And not just any hot honey.
Kelly's.
It has to be Kelly's hot honey.
No, it's
because
an addiction.
It is local and it's got, I think it's pretty close, isn't it?
I don't know. Kim,
no, it is.
I'm so addicted. But I haven't been able to find good watermelon lately.
Well, I struggled just because of the freeze that we've been, you know, in. But I went to 3 HEBs. No, it's a problem. No, anything you turn me on to, it becomes an obsession and I become addicted to it. So
I'm pretty sure. Okay, you know,
it's delicious.
We talked about you can't get the pre-sliced watermelon because it gets mushy.
Right.
But I don't want to cut up the whole one. So we figured out
the triangles
are the trick.
It's the perfect thing.
How many times a week do you go to the grocery store?
It depends on the week.
Admit it.
No, I go a lot. I mean, but it depends on the week. Sometimes I could go a month without stepping foot in HEB. I'm going to give HEB a shout out because it is the only grocery store I go to. But I might go 3 times in 1 week, and I might go a month and go once.
But then how do you get your watermelon?
I send Dave.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not like you. I know you do that whole curbside.
Yeah, I do.
And you do the delivery and all that kind of stuff. I have done that in my life twice.
Okay, I've been in HEB twice in the past 15 years.
What?
I just don't go.
Oh, my God. But Dave always makes fun of me because he says I have to texture. He said I have to go through the aisles and I have to, like, feel all the fruit and I have to figure out if it's, like, the right. You know, I'm very particular.
Okay.
Very particular. So.
So how much watermelon do you think how many of those with the triangles? You know, they come in a
yeah.
tray
oh,
on the
I
phone.
Get those all the time.
How many trays do you think you can eat a week?
Oh, I could eat 3 trays.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, if I can find the trays.
Okay.
No, I can totally do 3.
Okay.
And then, like I said, I get the triangle, I chop it up, I get the blueberries.
Yeah.
Do the whole rinse thing. And
I just wanted to make sure you were really addicted.
Oh,
because
no.
if you aren't 2 or 3 of those a week, you don't have
oh, no.
a problem.
Oh, I have a problem. No, thank you. I have a problem. Thanks to you. Dave was like, oh my God, we're going to Holland Scott's. What addiction is she going to come home with now? It's like, whatever it is. I mean, it's always something, you know, it's Now
hey,
it's
better
watermelon.
That than a chocolate cake or something.
Well,
right?
But I have that addiction too. I do. Yeah. I have a Dairy Queen addiction. I have a problem. I have a Baskin Robbins addiction. I have some really serious. I have some personal problems, which we'll talk about off camera.
Okay.
But definitely, but Kim, I have some issues.
Who doesn't?
Well, that's true. That's true.
And that's why you play pickleball.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe pickleball is the
okay.
solution.
You live so close.
I know.
It is around the corner from your house.
And from you guys.
I know.
I know. We need to be playing for sure.
Well, we're there 5 days a week.
I know. So the odds of being able to play with you guys is very high. And it the is. Fact that it's like so close to our house.
I bet you're less than 5 minutes.
Oh, for sure. It's less than 5 minutes. It depends on, you know, the day. But yeah, I could probably get there in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
If that. Yeah. Okay. No. So I think game on.
Okay.
I'm ready. And Dave, I know Dave is actually super competitive. So we'll have to get. Oh, yes. You've been sitting on the pickleball.
Yeah, I have a hamstring problem and I needed to improvise. So I'm sitting on my pickleball.
No, but show them your
balls.
All
right. Pickleball. So here's the thing about pickleballs. This is what's called...
Looks like a wiffle ball.
It is.
Okay.
Okay. This is what's called the outdoor pickleball.
Okay. What's the difference?
What's the difference is the indoor pickleball has bigger holes and fewer of them, roughly 26. This has roughly 40-ish.
Okay. Okay.
And this is a harder plastic.
Okay.
But here's where people get confused, which I did when I first started.
Okay.
So you go to Epic and you're like, oh, I need an indoor pickleball because I'm playing indoors. You go to Dildinkers. Oh, I'm playing indoors. You go to Chicken and Pickle. Oh, I need indoor. You don't because those are outdoor surfaces. Indoor pickleballs are for things like gym floors. Like it's the floor surface you're really.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
So because a lot of gyms at churches and different places like that, they have pickleball. And so you do have to have a ball that's not going to be so poppy.
Okay.
And
so this is a true outdoor.
Yes.
And so when we play with you, because I've only played indoors with you. That was a different pickleball, right?
Okay. That was actually a hybrid ball. But that's because, and those aren't really used that much at all. But that's because we were playing on that great system that they had.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't think any place has those anymore that I know of. I'm
sure
they
really?
Do. No, it's mostly everybody's gone to the actual surfaces that you should have.
Okay. So which do you prefer, outdoor or indoor?
I've never played in a gym, so I don't know what it's like to play. I've heard it's confusing because they're putting lines on basketball courts.
Yeah.
And for me, if I'm having to watch all those lines and see where I'm you know, keeping my feet out of the kitchen and stuff, I don't think that's
But how do you feel about playing in the elements outside?
It makes a difference. I have done that.
I figured, and that's why I'm asking.
No, it does make a difference.
And so because to me, I like the elements controlled. I'd rather have indoor.
Most people say that. I mean, there are some people, I'm sure it's the same way in tennis. They just love being outside.
Yeah.
They love to play outside.
Yeah, but it's so freaking
hot here.
That's
not me.
Yeah.
I don't want the wind. I don't want the sun in my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't want,
me
you know,
either.
I just...
Yeah.
I like to play inside.
Okay.
And I'm hearing more and more people do. I know a lot of people go downtown to Fairchild in the evenings and they say, you know, because it's cooler in the evenings.
Where's
and it's
Fairchild?
It's downtown somewhere.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So you haven't played there.
Oh, no.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. But it's outdoor courts.
Do you think I would drive downtown to play pickleball?
Well, you know, you're pretty obsessed. I would have said no, but I'm thinking maybe. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I tried the CBC courts outside.
Okay.
They're very nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I was just noticing we have matching tattoos. I don't know if anybody knows.
Yes, we do.
I love that. And I was just reminded of it. And I was
How did you see that?
I was noticing and just was thinking about my tattoo and your tattoo. And I was like, oh my God, I just remembered we have matching tattoos.
That was, let's see. That one was with you, and then I have another one I did with Matt. Do you remember that, Matt?
I also have one that I did with Matt. So, yes, we have a lot of, little simpaticos. So.
I actually just had
I love that.
I just had them touched up. I felt like they were kind of getting faded, yeah. you know, like, because this one's like 15 years old. And I was like, and I went and had it outlined, the black outlined again.
I love that
one. It makes a big difference.
And I did notice that one, and I love that.
Someone asked me the other day if that was a sticker. I was like, no, but thanks, because that means they did a good job.
Exactly. No, absolutely. I'm going to have to get your guy, because, or gal, whoever. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So, but we do have.
Yes.
That was we used to go to Wicked Ways. Remember that?
I do. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. We used to go have a cocktail or two, and then we used to go have a chispa or two, and then we would go to Wicked
Ways.
Okay,
let's be honest.
Yes.
Chispas, the limit is two. And that's how I have a couple of these tattoos.
In whose world? Whose world are we talking? Are we talking your world or my world?
I know I had two the time Matt and I went. I know I had two. And you know, one is my limit. So that's how I ended up with that tattoo.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But I cherish my tattoo, and I look at it all the time. So no, I do enjoy that. And like I said, just love it. Just love the connection. And I know, like I said, you have beautiful tattoos, so with lots of meaning. So, okay. So one last question I've got for you about pickleball.
Okay.
Which is, when you and Scott first started playing together, how does it impact you to play on the same team versus playing against each other? Because you're married, and I'm married to Dave, and so I understand the dynamics can get interesting. So I'm just curious what that's like, because you guys are both obsessed. You both play a lot. I'm just curious about playing together versus against each other, and what is that dynamic?
So interestingly enough, oh gosh, we had only been playing less than a year, and someone approached me and wanted to do an article about couples that play together, and they interviewed me. He's actually a very well-known journalist. And what I told him was, I think that the way your marriage is off the court is going to transfer onto the court.
Really? Okay? Oh, that's so interesting.
So if Scott is respectful to me, which he is.
Yes.
Off the court.
Yes.
He's going to be on the court.
Okay.
Does he look out for me off the court? Yes. He's going to look out for me on the court.
Yeah.
So you see some guys that maybe aren't so nice to their wives.
Right.
I don't think that's just on the court.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's my opinion. I love that. Oh my gosh. What a great answer.
No, that's my opinion.
I got more out of that answer than I was even hoping for.
So now, as far as Scott and I playing together, you know, you were a tennis player. You know this. This is true in so many things in life. There are some days that we think we're on fire.
Yeah.
Y'all
kicked our butts. Oh my God. Are you serious? You mopped the floor with us. Like we were like little rag dolls on the court. It's true. So, you know it.
So, and there are days where we think, oh my goodness, what? I'm embarrassed for myself. It's that bad. Like, what is wrong with me? I mean, just can't, you know. And that's life.
Yes.
You can do that with anything.
Yes.
But I think for the most part, we play well together. There is a certain comfort for me. You know, I've said this before, Scott's kind of my anchor. And I...
Amen.
I like that.
Yes.
And...
I love me some Scott Schneider.
And then when he's across from me, he does like to slam the ball on me. He does like to drop it to where I have to run up to the net.
But in a loving way.
And he does think it's funny.
Yes.
And sometimes I might have to mouth bad words to him.
I love it.
And he just smiles more.
Yes.
And it's all in love, and it's all in fun.
Yes. I totally get that. I totally get that. That's so cool. Yeah.
I think we play well together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you definitely did when Dave and I played you guys. So, but I figured with all the matches that you've had over the last 2.5 years, there has to be some different situations that have been interesting.
I don't think we've ever really had an issue or gotten.
Well, apparently not. Well, you're still playing.
No, now I will tell you this. I did get mad at him once.
Okay. Well, one time in 2.5 years,
listen,
you know. That's nothing.
I had just read this article about if the pickleball hits you hard enough in the eye, it detaches your retina. And that's often not curable and you will lose your vision. Okay. So he hit me in the eye. Okay. Not on purpose.
No, I know. I know, but I did not know this. That's
and I went
crazy.
Like this. And when I opened my eye, I couldn't see. And so for a minute, you know, you just read this article recently.
Yes. And you're like, oh my God, I'm blind.
It's over.
Yes. Yes. No more pickleball. I'm a one-eyed gal.
And so he's, of course, he felt horrible. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And of course I am very upset. And I'm thinking, don't you even talk to me right now. Like if I go blind over this,
if I'm losing an eye, you're losing something too. I don't know what it is.
I ended up ordering pickleball glasses, for me personally, I think are a good idea. And what I learned is they take away all the fear. I've been hit several times now on my cap.
Do you play with them all the time?
I only play with them. Really? I would not play without them for anything.
Really?
No way. And a lot of people do, and I'm okay with that. But I'm not willing to take that chance.
Okay. Good to know.
And I actually talked to the retina specialist here in San Antonio about this whole interesting thing. And he said, it is a big problem. People do not realize. Anyway, back to the story. So I was fine. I mean, it just took probably 3 minutes and it kind of started getting, blurry and I could kind of see everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I got glasses and Scott didn't say he thought it was ridiculous, but he was like, oh, okay, you go ahead and get glasses. Yeah. Okay. A week later, guess who hit him in the eye?
No. Oh my gosh. And what happened? Did it? It was okay?
It was fine.
Does he wear glasses now?
We do not go on the court without glasses.
Him too?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you think, my hands are fast. I'm not going to get hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You don't know
that.
Yeah,
you don't.
What's really common is you're going to swing. It hits the edge of your paddle. You just miss hit a little. And when that power pops up off of there, you're right here. And that's when you get it.
And it happens in an
instant. It's not necessarily coming from over there.
Yes. It's like a rebound, kind of like a bounce off.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
So we always wear glasses. You have to wear court shoes.
Okay. Oh, you do?
Court shoes are the ticket.
What is that?
It's just like you would wear for tennis.
Okay.
Like they're just, the bottom is going to keep you from like sticking too much.
Is it a particular type of shoe when you say that? Is it like a tennis shoe or a running shoe?
It's a court shoe. It is not a running shoe.
It is a court shoe.
So you can use what you would use for tennis.
Okay.
Or volleyball.
Okay.
Or pickleball. They're all.
Right.
But you need to have a court shoe. And I learned that the hard way because I was wearing Brooks running shoes because those were my favorites when I first started.
Yeah.
And I was taking a lesson and my shoe hung and fell backwards. And I was told, you really need to wear court shoes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So now
I
have 12 pair.
Okay. So you don't wear your ghosts on the court.
I can't.
Okay.
It's just not a good idea.
Okay. I did not know that. So I guess I need to get, if Dave and I are going to play with you guys, I guess we need to get real shoes.
Because
I only have the running shoes that you turned me on to, which are my favorites.
I
still love them. They discontinued it.
They have others. I've got others.
I know that's true, but they're just not the same. I got some others and I'm sad. I miss mine.
Brooks are great.
Yes, they are. They're my faves. Okay. Thank you so much. We are going to start the next part of the podcast, which is the feral or fabulous. If you would grab your paddle.
Boy.
Yes, if you can grab your paddle without, there you go. Get ready.
I'm ready.
I've got several topics for you.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, I don't have it figured out yet, but I'm going to see what you say because I'm not sure what you're going to say.
I'm not sure I know even, I may be neutral on some things.
You might. You might be.
There we go.
Deer. How do you feel about deer?
I like them.
Okay.
Now, I know they can be mean and stuff.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
But there is just something so beautiful about them.
And, I agree.
You know, when we lived in Timberwood Park and all those deer.
Yes.
And the dogs would actually, like they made friends with them. They would run back
and
forth.
We would sit out on your back porch and watch them. And they were so beautiful.
I just I find them beautiful creatures.
I agree.
And I guess if I had an encounter with one and it didn't go well, I might think differently.
Right.
But for right now, I'm going with fabulous.
Okay, cool. I feel the same way. And of course, you know, we have Lacey, our Doberman. And there's so many traits that Lacey has as a Doberman that are just like deer. Like sometimes I tell Dave, I said, I think she's a deer, like in just dark clothing. I don't know.
She might be.
I don't know. It's weird.
Or
but
maybe
I
it's
just
her
think
spirit animal.
Maybe so. I think you might be right. But I love deer. I do feel too. Like, but again, I wouldn't necessarily want to befriend them and be like right up against them because I've seen them get a little kind of
Yeah, but you know, when
crazy.
We lived in Timberwood Park, we called them and they would come.
I know. I love that.
And there were people that had them come to their front door and would beat them out the front
door.
I didn't go that far.
No, but they can be very domesticated. Yeah. So no, I feel the same way. So, okay, cool. I was
beautiful
right
creatures.
About what you, yes, I thought so. Okay. The next one we may have kind of indicated a little bit during the episode, hot honey.
I love hot honey.
Me too.
But I really only like Kelly's. I've tried several brands and they have a chemical taste to me.
Oh,
but
okay.
Kelly's does not. It's got just the right amount of heat.
Yeah.
And
well, Kelly's is the only brand I've ever bought because of you.
Oh, really?
Because you turned me on to it. Now, I say that when I'm at a restaurant and we order something that has hot honey on it, I obviously don't know what kind of hot honey they're using. But the only one I own that I have ever bought is the...
No,
the same one as you.
I just love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it on vegetables, on fruit.
But I think it's local.
Bread.
And then I think even the peppers that they use, I think are local as well. I think they
infuse them
and it's crack. It's so good.
Oh, it is so good.
No, I literally put it on everything. No,
okay.
Literally. It's
Wait,
sick.
What is it? Is it Frank's hot sauce? They say you put it on everything. Well, we need to do one for Kelly's.
We do, because I put it
Kelly's
on everything.
Honey. I do too.
No, I'm serious. I will literally put it on. I put it on my yogurt.
I was going to say, you put it on yogurt.
I do all the time. I put it on yogurt. I even did that latest, you know, what's the whole thing on TikTok and all the other social media sites where you do a Japanese cheesecake. I don't know if you've done that yet.
No.
You get the, what are they called? Those cookies that are like... wafers that they give you on a flight. I can't think of what it's called, but it's like a wafer cookie and you take yogurt, you put it into a pan. I've made it several times now and I'm obsessed. You fill the thing with yogurt and then you put these wafers down into the yogurt and then you put it in the refrigerator.
So is it like the crust or a layer?
It becomes, well, the wafer cookie becomes, oh, I'm so sorry, brand, whoever you are. I can't think of what you're called. But I've even used graham crackers. I go to Trader Joe's and I get their stuff too. They have a great knockoff of whatever it is I'm trying to think of that I can't think of. But you put it down in the yogurt, and I use non-fat, you know, Faye yogurt, and I put these wafers down in it, and then you put it in the refrigerator for like several hours, and it becomes like a crust. And so then I take it, and I put like the frozen organic blueberries, and I put them like in the microwave, and like it becomes a compote kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I put that over the yogurt with these wafers that had been in the refrigerator for a while, and then it becomes like a crust, and I put the blueberries on top, and then I put Kelly's hot honey
so
all over the top.
What makes it thick?
The yogurt, it being the yogurt and the wafers that are inside the yogurt, it kind of like becomes soft.
Gotcha.
And so when you scoop it, if you look
gotcha.
On it becomes a crust, like the crust is kind of like immersed in the yogurt, and then you have the blueberries on top, and then you have the hot honey
and
on the top.
It's really good.
Oh, it's crack. No, it's crack. And literally once you have it, and it's really not that unhealthy. Like, because the ones that I use, I try and check to see how much sugar and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's so good. But of course,
try it.
Anyway, it's worth a try. So definitely on hot honey, I think we're both on the same page. I have no idea on this next one. Puzzles.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with this and a little bit of this.
Yeah. Okay.
So I like word puzzles or solving type puzzles.
Do you like crossword puzzles?
I'm not that good at them, but I'm okay.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not really my thing.
Okay. Okay.
I do like them, but you know how people buy these like 1,000-piece puzzles and dump them out on the table?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm so overwhelmed. They're like, oh, just find the edges first. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. A 1,000-piece puzzle.
I'm out on clowns.
a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
Now, grandkids, they have a, you know, 45-piece puzzle. Let's go.
I don't mind a 12-piecer. I could do those 12-pieces all day long. I can do those in my sleep. You know
what? I'm good with the 12-piece, too.
Okay, but, so we're kind of simpatico on that.
Yeah,
so.
I just... Too okay. much. You know, okay. these people, some people have puzzle tables.
I know.
And they like, oh, I got a 3,000-piece puzzle.
Oh, I have clients. I have clients that have more than one puzzle table. They have multiple puzzle tables.
That is not me.
Yeah, that's an obsession.
But I guess I kind of like to do problem-solving games type things. So when I think of puzzles, that's kind of...
Well, and they say that it's good for your brain, you know, that you look at it and you figure out what the shape and where it goes and all that kind of stuff. So I just don't have the patience, you know. It's kind of like sewing for me. I want to just take it and rip it up and take scissors and just chop it up, you know.
Have you ever cut the Christmas lights off your Christmas tree?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's a whole new level of I just can't handle it.
Yeah, apparently. You know? Okay. Yeah,
well, I did that one time.
I was going to say, it sounds like you speak from experience. So,
you know, there's just some things where you just like,
I do
like
know.
A necklace that gets a knot in it or something.
Yes.
It's just like,
I know. I'm kind of like that. When I get over something, I go cash register just like you.
Yes. Yep.
But we'll have to have you back on the podcast so we can talk about going cash register because that's a whole other level of stuff that we got to talk about. True crime.
I like it.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
And I like to try and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I think I'm okay at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like true crime. Honestly, you would think at my age I wouldn't be amazed anymore at some of these stories, but...
No, it never ceases to amaze sometimes, right?
It's like... What?
No, I agree.
Crazy.
I like true crime as well.
I do.
But do you feel like after you watch a lot of true crime that you start seeing other people in a different way?
Oh, I'm on the lookout.
Yes, me too. Me too. Because they say like 1 in 25 people is a sociopath. One in five. What is it? No, 1 in 25.
There are 4 of us in the room right now. So I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel.
Okay,
about
so maybe
it better not be 1 in 5 or I'm leaving.
Maybe it's 1 in 25,
I'm
but there is a ratio. I pray to God it's 1 in 25 because I've read that book, The Sociopath Next Door. And so I do tend to look for sociopathic tendencies in other people. So,
I think they're, when I said earlier, everybody's got issues or everybody's got whatever. I really do think that's the reality.
Yeah.
It's just how severe
are the
they.
Level. Yeah.
And some of these stories that you, or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
It really is just unbelievable to me.
No, absolutely. Yeah. They need to be playing pickleball. Get out
they
some of
do.
Their, they need
but
to get
I don't
out
want them to come where I play because I'm trying to avoid those kind of people.
Yeah, but you've only got one guy or one person that you don't want to play pickleball with. We don't want to increase that to 2.
I know, we don't.
Especially if they're Jeffrey Dahmer or something.
I know.
You know, that wouldn't be good.
You know, who's to say I haven't played with somebody like
that's
that?
That's true.
You
exactly.
don't know.
Exactly. That's
you
right.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I said Fred earlier.
Yeah,
could
I wish,
be Jeff.
I wish you wouldn't have said that because now I'm going to start overthinking it. I want to be.
I know. That's one of the many things I love about you is my lovely friend, the overthinker. But most of the time I can get on board with your overthinking.
Really?
And that I think we're
how
very
about
similar.
The, how about the over-organizing?
Oh, totally. Well, no.
You
no,
can't
no,
get on board with
no.
it?
No. You have me so beat on that. Like, I can't even dip my toe. I mean, I'm like half-toed in that regard. I can't even do that. Yeah. I mean, you're so organized. I am not organized like that. So I do hope to one day be
it's
as organized.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, I've seen your house. I've seen your closet. I've seen your laundry room. Oh my gosh. I mean, seriously, it's so organized and beautiful. I mean, it actually is a beautiful thing to see.
You're
I've never
very
seen
kind.
A laundry room that was so amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
Kimberly.
just because of the outfits that are hung in a certain order and by color and by size and by length. I mean, it was something to behold.
Oh.
Dave still remembers it. He's still,
really?
Yeah. No, he was like, oh my God, why don't we have a laundry room like Ollie?
You know,
and I'm
I
like,
will
that
tell
will never
you,
happen.
Dave has given me such a hard time over the years over stuff.
Everything?
Over color coding and different documents and stuff.
Yes.
So when I really do something like really all out color coded charts and everything, the first person I think of is Dave would be so proud.
Yes, he would be. And he still is to this day. Okay. Sandcastles.
I like sandcastles.
Okay.
You know, I have fond memories of going to the beach a lot growing up.
Me too.
That's what we did. My parents had a boat.
Yeah.
And we went down to the coast a lot.
Yeah.
And I have fond memories of sandcastles. And I like being in the sand.
Me too.
I will say this. I really was never good at it. Mine just didn't stick together the way they should.
Yeah, but, you know, you have that creative brain. You have that part of your brain that's very creative because that's what made you a good stager. That was a designer, that kind of thing. You definitely have that. I don't have any of that whatsoever.
You do.
No. I really don't. But I did. There was something cool and fun about I wasn't good at it either, but I loved watching other people because they were so talented and so skilled. So I do love sandcastles.
Oh, when you, at Port Aransas, the sand fest.
Yeah, the sand fest.
When I see the pictures from there, I am in awe. Yeah. I'm like, those people are artists, but I think they use other stuff mixed in with the sand, don't they? Hairspray or chemicals or foam?
Probably,
I don't know.
I honestly don't know the answer to that, but I have been like amazed at what they've done.
They're phenomenal artists.
Yes. I totally agree with that. Even if they use another component,
it's
still amazing.
It is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Okay, last one, Fatal Attraction.
My goodness gracious. I'm going to go kind of both.
Yeah.
Because that was some sick stuff.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I'm clapping for you. I'm very proud of your response.
But you couldn't help but keep watching it.
I know. It's like a train wreck that you can't look away from.
Yes.
No, I totally agree. Like, I'm the same. Honestly, I'm going to tell you this, and this is really sick, but Fatal Attraction is one of my favorite movies. It's just...
I'm not surprised.
It's a cautionary tale. Cautionary tale.
It is.
You know? And I always remind Dave and everyone else I know of that.
So. Interestingly enough... At the time, do you know what year that was?
No, I have no idea. Okay, producers. Anybody? Fatal Attraction? Nobody? I don't know. Was it the 80s? Because I remember, you know, Glenn Close and Michael Douglas. I mean, I remember their...
87.
Okay. Oh, at least I got the right, you know, decade.
So I'm going to say this. When we first saw that, of course... You know, you kind of wanted to look away, but you were so sucked in for the craziness.
Yeah.
Like, but it didn't seem far-fetched, but you probably in the back of your head thought, boy, this would be a few and far between story.
Yeah.
And now that we've got social media and you see what really goes on in the world and there you see more of the crazy, that show is not really that far-fetched anymore.
Not at all.
At all.
It's actually kind of mainstream almost. I hate to say it, but it is.
It is.
100%. Yeah.
Times have changed.
Well, that's a good one to end on.
Fatal Attraction. I don't
know if that's... No, you are my anti-Fatal Attraction, but I still think it's a fun one to end on because it's kind of controversial and fun. So anyway, well, love you lots.
Thank you so much, Kimberly,
for being on Feral and Fabulous. And you guys, thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Feral and Fabulous. Keep on keeping on. Bye.